This is Abnormal Entertainment.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's time to lift your glass and raise your spirits with Kevin Moyers.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Kevin Moyers, and welcome to Raise Your Spirits, episode 207. It's been a little over a month since I did the last one, but things have been kind of hectic. I've been working a lot, especially over the last week, which is good, though, because it needs to be done. But, yeah, it's a sad day. I must announce the demise of the PT Cruiser. it just couldn't go any further. It's done. It's over with. And the day that I recorded the last episode, Trapped in the Cruiser, it snapped the timing belt. There are busted motor mounts, but something seized and snapped the timing belt. It's just a mess. It wasn't worth fixing. So for a very small amount, I got a wonderful used Honda that was from a friend, and he called it his baby. Like, he loved this car, and he took great care of it. So even though the mileage is slightly higher than the Cruiser, which isn't that big of a deal, honestly, it was well taken care of, and it's a nice, comfortable car. It's nice to have power steering and air conditioning again, but to get the Cruiser back up to speed in tip-top shape would be more than what I spent to get this used car. So farewell to the PT Cruiser. It is gone, and I got made fun of for that car. I got made fun of. First time Cam saw it, I picked him up from the airport, and I think he called me a fag. I'm pretty sure. So, which is, is pretty funny. Anyway, whatever. as much as I got ridiculed for that car, I never gave a shit. I was always comfortable driving it, and now it's gone. So, what are you going to do? But I had a weird milestone last Thursday, and I should have put a show up that day because I was feeling odd about it, but last Thursday, April 28th, was my 9-year anniversary at the post office, and I have to say, being on my route for just over a year, being technically what they call regular, meaning I own the route, so to speak, since July, it's less than a year, I am fucking bored to tears doing the same goddamn thing every day. Doesn't matter. I might have different houses to stop at with packages, but let's face it, people that get boxes are the same fucking people over and over again. I had some annoying twat whine because, like, when you open these big metal boxes, the opening on the inside is a little bit bigger than when you close it, and then, you have your flap that you can unlock. If you have these neighborhood boxes, you know what I'm talking about. So the box fit in her slot, and then when it was closed out of her opening, she couldn't get it out, so it was pissing and moaning. It's just like, it's not the end of the fucking world. It's your contact lenses through the mail. You're not going to die without it. It's not like your life-saving medication. Whatever pair you're wearing today, you can wear fucking tomorrow. Calm the fuck down. Quit being a shit-ass about it. Wear your glasses for a day. It's not the end of the goddamn world, but she acted like it, and she had that face, like, I don't know if anybody's watching The Path right now, but Michelle Monaghan, she's great on the show, but she always has this look on her face like she just watched somebody take a shit in the middle of her kitchen. Like, what the fuck, are you kidding me kind of face? That's what this lady had, and she can smell it at the same time, like that's the face this lady had. So, yeah, so that was that. But a few happenings around here since I last talked to you. I did mention getting a dog, and his dog is under the desk right now. He's like a Chihuahua and possibly some kind of terrier mix, and his name is Greg. And if you listen to the last Masterpiece Theater episode, Sam's Uncle Greg passed day after my birthday in March, and it was really a rough time. It's still rough, of course, because it's still new, and he worked in a lot of movies, and she explained some of that on Masterpiece, last week's episode. I'm sorry, and the one that will, the one that'll air tomorrow. Anyway, Sam talks about him, and he worked on Suicide Squad and stuff like that. So, I was at work, and it was a little less than a week after that happened, and one of the other carriers found a stray dog on a route. I brought him up, and I saw a picture of him, and he's a little guy, and I'm like, well, all right, I can handle this. And Justin Limesack, who works on the route next to me, says, she's been through a lot. You better get her a dog. And I said, yeah, I know. So I went to see this little shithead, and he warmed up to me almost immediately. And to be honest, he's more like a cat than a dog. He's not super playful, although he can, like, leap up. He can't jump that high, but he did this thing at the park. Sam took him for a walk, and then I went and took a walk with Casey so she could scooter around the neighborhood, and then we were going to end at the park nearby us. Turns out Sam was sitting there reading something at the picnic table at that park. And so Greg, who was named for her uncle, she and Casey agreed that would be a great idea. Nice little tribute. Greg came up and just, like, leaped up into my arms. So now we do a thing, pat the chest. He jumps up. He's a little short, so I always have to scoop him up. But that's about as dog-like as he gets. Otherwise, he's like a hairy piece of furniture, pretty much. So, but he's all right. He's all right. We got his nuts removed last week. So that's awesome. two. It'll be 2 weeks without nuts now as this airs. But poor Greg. It's really weird because he had... He had his balls there, and when somebody draws a dick and they don't know what the fuck they're doing, they'll sometimes, I've never understood that, they'll draw two separate testicles, and I always want to ask, like, have you ever actually seen a dick and balls? Because that's not how it looks. It doesn't look like a straight dick. First of all, no dick is perfectly straight, I would imagine. I haven't seen many of them in person, but, you know, it's just like, I mean, I've been in some locker rooms and you don't generally see boners there. So I don't know. I've seen enough porn to know that, you know, like my own, most are curved in one way or another. So there's always this straight line dick with these two testicles that one is in front of the other and their sack is conformed to the nuts. And that's not how it works. Except for Greg. Greg had those. He had the dick that and balls that you see a shitty drawing of. And Casey had, we were watching CBS Sunday Morning one day, and the older lady that's on there with the really short, like, grandma haircut, like the I don't give a shit anymore, it just looks like a salad bowl cut, that she dies for some reason. I don't know why, because she doesn't give a fuck. She said something. She said the word testicles. And Casey and I are watching this. She said, Dad, what are testicles? And I used the example of a dog. Like, you ever see behind a dog, you can see him, you know? And she's like, okay. And she understood. And I didn't explain what they do or anything. You just answer the question and you move on. If they have more questions, answer the questions. But you don't have to. People are always freaked out. How do I tell my kid about this? How do I tell my kid about this? You don't have to fucking explain everything. As a question comes up, you answer it. What are testicles? I told her what they are. Those are those things that hang there, whatever, they hang below the penis, and that's it. Okay, she didn't ask what they do, what the purpose was, the existential meaning of testicles. She didn't ask any of that. She just, what are they? Plain and simple. So with Greg, she saw his testicles and said they look like sideways butt cheeks, which I thought was the funniest thing in the world. And then after he got fixed... And what they do is they put a small incision at the base of the penis on the dog. And we find out he's about a year old, according to the vet's guess. Because we didn't know. I mean, he was straight. He wasn't fixed, wasn't chipped, anything. So we still have to get him shots and stuff like that. So that has to happen. But we, you know, we're getting things taken care of as we go. Take Casey to school. She sees one of her best friends. And she mentions, Greg got his testicles chopped. And her friend says, "What are testicles?" And all I could think is, she's going to have a great conversation with her dad later. And I don't care because her dad is a fucking dud. I got stuck with this guy at the school carnival last year. They didn't have one this year. They did a father-daughter dance this year, and I got stuck talking to him again this year. And he's just boring. It's not a bad guy. He's just dull. So both years, a guy comes up that he's obviously friends with, another dad, and starts talking to him, and then I become non-existent, which is funny. And it happened at the carnival last year, and then it happened at the dance this year. And it's fine because it's my escape. I'm kind of like, hey, fuck you, man. We were talking. And part of me is like, thank God, I want to get away from this fucking guy. And believe me, it's more the latter than the former. So that's just the way that stuff goes. But one of the funnier things about all of that is just knowing that he's going to have this conversation. So I appreciate that. And speaking of my kid, the dog, and testicles, I have a rule with the bedroom. Knock. Knock before you come in. If the door is closed, knock. Goes for the bedroom, the bathroom, closed door, knock, right? So it's early in the morning on a day I'm taking Casey to school. She gets herself up. She turns the TV on, whatever. And we bought this speaker tower for the wedding because there wasn't really any kind of outdoor speakers. And it's a cool little thing. And it sounds really good. And you can Bluetooth your phone to it or whatever, jack into it or whatever. So we hooked the TV into it. And it sounds nice, and we enjoyed it. And I'm like, well, why buy a sound bar when we have this thing? So after we did that, Casey didn't, she didn't know how to turn it on. There's a little switch in the back. So she didn't know where the switch was, didn't know how to turn it on and start watching cartoons in the morning after she got herself dressed. I'm standing in the bedroom. I'm usually pretty quiet about it because Sam's still sleeping, and I get up early, and I use my phone for light. So I'm standing there changing my underwear by the hamper. I'm completely naked, about to put clean underwear on. I have my phone turned on and lit up so I can see. And it's in front of me, so I'm sure I'm lit up in this, like, bluish light. And my bedroom door opens. Casey's standing there, the dog right at her feet, and they're both fucking looking at me. This is the moment you don't want in life. This is the moment you definitely never want. Now, thank God we weren't having some morning sex, because that would have been way fucked up for her to open the door to. You know, maybe we would have been covered, whatever, but still. Who the hell knows what we'd be doing or whatever. So I'm like, close the door, knock before, you know, and then I get my underwear and I'm like, what do you want? Oh, I couldn't turn on that. I'm like, go downstairs. I'll just fucking figure it out in a minute. Like, I was so pissed off that this kid walked in. I don't know what she could or couldn't see. I mean, I don't know how well I was lit up or if I was shadowed or what. So who knows? Wasn't my favorite moment. I'll tell you that right now. So, yeah, that happens, and it sucks, but whatever. It's out of the way now. Let's put it that way. I was always dreading it, and now it's happened. So, oh, fuck it. Fuck it. What are you going to do? So, anyhow, a lot of things have been going on in the world. One, I'm just going to throw this out. We're going to Phoenix Comic Con with a show that Dalen, a.k.a. the Mass Blogster, Jeff Dolniak, Handsome Jay and Mandy, all from Masterpiece, the five of us participated in front of the camera. And the man behind the camera, Matt from Masterpiece, who his former nickname we can't really use because, you know, it's kind of shitty, but he was the cameraman as well as co-star on a show called Sketchy that we did, and we're showing it at Phoenix Comic Con, which is the week after Memorial Day. We're showing it on that Thursday. I believe it's June 2nd, two times that day. And then across the weekend, Jeff and Dalen and I are doing two Cinema Head Cheese episodes. So we're going to have a presence there, and we're going to get all this stuff up on YouTube so that you can all see it, and I'm really super proud of it, and it's good. So there's that. And, you know, I'll get links up to it everywhere as we go. But in the world, as things are going along, one big thing we have going, of course, are the elections. And I have to say, this shit gets funnier by the minute and more dreadful by the minute at the same time. Like, it's going to be, if things go as they should at the conventions, it'll be Donald Trump versus Hillary Clinton. And one thing I did notice is a lot of people are starting to talk to the Bernie supporters. Patton Oswalt was one. George Takei is another. And Patton Oswalt, we can talk a little bit more about in a minute, because there's some stuff with him that I'm interested in discussing. But anyway, they're like, there's some of these people, Bernie or bust, kind of. And they're calling people Bernie bros and stuff like that, which I don't necessarily like, because suddenly, like, oh, I'm for Bernie Sanders. I voted for Bernie Sanders. He's the guy I prefer. If he's not the nominee, I'm voting for Hillary Clinton. You can't just do this Bernie or bust. If it's not Bernie, I'm not voting, or I'm not voting for anybody. You can't do that shit. You cannot do that shit, because that opens the door for Donald Trump, who is a super racist garbage piece of shit, who just wanted some attention for his fucking books and hotels and TV show, and ended up being the leader, and now his ego has run away with him. And if it ends up being Ted Cruz, you're fucked. That is a super hyper-religious zealot pandering piece of shit. I'll give John Boehner a little credit. We watched the Correspondents' Dinner because we're big Larry Wilmore fans here in the house. And I always like to watch Obama's clips because he's funny. He's fucking funny. He's the funniest president, intentionally funniest president. George W. Bush was funny on accident most of the time. But he's the best. If he were to become a comic, he'd do well. But he knows how to deliver jokes. He's intentionally funny. And he did this clip with John Boehner, which I thought was great. And Boehner was great in it, you know, talking about how to handle retirement and stuff. You have to watch it. It's all on YouTube. And Wilmore was great, too. He was brilliant. Love that guy. But, like, Ted Cruz, John Boehner, people made fun of him because he cried and stuff like that. But he was actually a thoughtful guy, tried to keep the government running. When Ted Cruz was part of getting it shut down for a while the last time, Ted Cruz sat there, if you remember, and read Green Eggs and Ham to his kids on fucking C-SPAN. Fuck that guy. No wonder his kids don't even goddamn like him. His older daughter thinks he's a piece of shit. That's clear as day. He's a fucking pandering asshole, and she sees it. That's what I love. I love it. And she just tells him fuck off, basically, in subtle ways so many times, and I love every bit of it. So, that kid's going to grow up to disown him eventually. But anyway, this dipshit, who isn't even close to being the nominee, picks Carly Fiorina as his running mate, which is like, are you out of your mind? Are you fucking out of your mind? You're not even nominated yet. If it happens, you know, which only if they eschew Trump out of the party, which he'll end up running as independent and fuck the whole thing up anyway. So you may as well accept it and move on. But he picks Fiorina, who, you know, she'll be a great job creator because somebody's going to have to work those unemployment offices once she's in office. You know what I mean? It's just, she's a fucking disaster. She lost so many jobs at HP. She believed those phony fucking Planned Parenthood videos, you know, and we ended up having a Planned Parenthood shooting because she promoted that bullshit, which turned out to be fraudulent. You know, and I don't care if you're pro-life or pro-choice. That's fine. I mean, I get either side of it. I do, to a degree. I'm pro-choice. Doesn't mean that's the choice I would make. You can make either choice. That's why it's called choice. You can decide to get an abortion or not to get an abortion. And that's what I believe in. You should make that decision for yourself, not have the government do that for you in that case. So, but yeah, anyway, where was I going? Oh, anyway, she has no place in office, and neither does Ted Cruz. He's a fucking, he wants to hijack everything and turn it into his little personal project, which is not the way it should be. It's for the people one way or another. So, and on that tip, by the way, I watched this this piece on CBS Sunday Morning about a priest who was pro-life, grew up Jewish. Don't know how he became a priest. They didn't get into that, why he converted. But he'd heard tons of stories about the Holocaust, and that's why he's pro-life. You know, it was part of his upbringing, his family, and stuff like that. It was discussed quite frequently, and it horrified him, of course. So that's why. But he's also very, very reasonable, and he hates the shootings and stuff like that. And you know, that's not the way to handle it. And protesting is one thing, but, you know, killing abortion doctors is another, and he's very much against that and speaks out against that kind of violent protesting. So it was a very interesting piece, and he's an interesting guy. I mean, I'd love to talk to him, should I ever get the chance, and just pick his brain a little bit and see where he's coming from, because that's what you have to do. You have to see and listen to the other side in order to disagree with them. You have to know what they're thinking, what they're feeling. You can't just go, well, here's the base. Pro-life, fuck you. Pro-choice, fuck you. You know, without getting deeper into it. We go so black and white, and there's so much gray. So much gray in the world. You know. So, and speaking of that the transgender bathroom thing is all over the place. Honestly, I'm pretty sure the transgender people have been using whichever bathroom they want for their entire lives, up to now. So I don't know what the fuck the purpose of a law is. And how are you going to know? There was a great picture floating around online. I'm sure George Takei shared it, because that's where I see a lot of things on Facebook. We all do. Of a 15-year-old transgender girl, and said, would you send her into, you know, if this was your son who became a transgender girl who just started taking estrogen, would you send her into the men's room? No way. And you wouldn't know. You wouldn't know that she was born a boy. You would have no idea. So, yeah, it's a really interesting thing, and that's in the gray. We are, even as human beings, we live in the gray. We don't live just black or white. It's not the way it is. So, and including gender lines now. You know, and I shouldn't say now, but now it's at the forefront. So, and now we can see it. We can see, like, yes, this is here. This exists. You know, whether it's your sexuality, your gender, hell, even your race. There, it's all gray now. It's all, there is no just straightforward black or white. It's not that simple. It never was, but now we're finally, as a society, seeing that, and it's really an interesting thing, you know. And there are people that are going to go, no, you can't say. I can say whatever I want. I can say anything I want about anything. I am allowed to have my opinion. And to say that I'm allowed, it sounds weird and feels weird to me, but I can have an opinion. It's okay. It's my own brain. My brain does what it wants to do. My mouth says what it wants to say, and that's it. And I can be thoughtful about what I say. But, you know, because I'm a straight white male doesn't mean that there's no gray for me either. You know what I mean? It's not, I'm bang in that category. So people, if I want to say something about race, if I want to say something about gender or sexuality or whatever, I get shot down, which is shitty, because I am what is known as an ally to a lot of people. So I'm pro-rights for human rights, really. So, you know, if you're gay, if you are trans, if you are of a different race than me, or a different nationality than me, I'm for you having your freedoms, your choices, your rights, your voice, everything. So, you know, when people want to just shit on, well, you're white, you can't say anything about race. Well, fuck you. I can say what I want to say, and I'm going to, and I have, and I do. So, you know, I can have my piece, too. I happen to belong to a race. So, I happen to belong to a gender, to a sexuality, to whatever. You know, and we can't continuously shout people down because they don't fall into a category. Because that's doing exactly what has been done to the people that struggle. Accept and embrace your allies, because we are plentiful and we are here to help, to assist you, to be a part of what you're doing. And that's important. You know what I mean? That's really important. So, you know, the whole thing is to get into a positive line of thinking on these things. What can get us forward? What can get us ahead? What can make us better? That's what we need to do. And, you know, this is Raise Your Spirits. And I said it last time. I want to bring things up a little bit. I don't want to be bitchy, complainy, that kind of stuff. So let's take this into a positive place. You know, if you rooted for Bernie Sanders, like I did, like my cohorts on the No Cry Zone here, like others that I know, it's a tough haul. Unless he really cleans up in every other state and some superdelegates flip, like a lot of them, most of them, because I think he has about 13 compared to the hundreds that Hillary Clinton has. You know, unless all that happens, he's not going to be the presidential nominee for the Democrats. It's just not going to happen. So, I mean, you know, Hillary Bernie super ticket, that'll clean the fuck right up. I'm telling you right now, that's not going to be defeatable. Maybe that'll happen. Maybe it won't. But, you know, in a time where we have to look at numbers and be realistic, I love the message that he sent out there. I got my little birdie sticker, which I thought was pretty cool. I love what he is doing and what he's bringing up. But you can't go, oh, well, fuck it. We have no choice, no nothing. You know, it's not like that. And a lot of people are saying, hey, Obama was here and superdelegates flipped for him and so on and so forth. But he started his career as a Democrat, continued his career as a Democrat, was seen as a bright young star of the Democrats. He wasn't an independent who flipped and joined the party. So it's a different story. He was, you know, he had that D on his name from day one, not an I like Bernie has. And, you know, for almost 30 years. So it's not going to be that simple. And we're going to have a woman president, and it's going to be Hillary Clinton. It's going to be historic, and it's going to be her. And it's her opportunity to do that, to make history. You know, and who knows who comes after. And we're looking at a historic, if you look at the four front runners, so to speak, number one and two in each party, you have history at any angle. Hillary, first woman. Bernie, first Jewish president. Cruz, first Hispanic and foreign born, which I still don't fucking know how he's able to run. I don't care the little minutia. He's foreign born. So he'd be our first Canadian born president. But still first Hispanic, because his dad was Cuban. Or you'd have Donald Trump, who really would be the first true independent, the first non-politician. He's never held office. He'd be the first person to go from zero to president. In the modern era. So, you know, it would be interesting no matter what happens. History is being made this year, no matter what. But I know which bit of history, and it's going to be our first woman president, which I'm fine with. I'm fine with. She's my second choice, but I'm fine with it. And it's not going to be a bad thing. And, yeah, she's done some shady shit, and so did Bill. But, you know, so did... So has Trump, so has Cruz. You know, Bernie's the only guy who you kind of look at and go, there's not really much there that is negative. I mean, there's some issues with gun voting and VA hospital stuff when he was a member of that. I can't even think the word right now, that caucus of Congress, that not, it's not the word. I'm thinking of. My mind is going blank. You know what I'm saying? The little, you know, they group and do things. Anyway, whatever. The point is, they've all had their good and bad. And this is what's going to happen. And to just run screaming, nah, Bernie or bust, or, you know, even Trump or bust, or whatever. I mean, if you're voting for Trump or bust, I don't give a fuck if you don't vote, because I think that's an insane choice. Anyway, but I don't know. We just can't have that craziness. And it's not positive. It's fighting using negativity, trying to lead using negativity, and that's not the way it goes. And I'm completely losing track of where I was and forgot. So, yeah, anyhow. Last week on Masterpiece Theater, I was on for a couple episodes. We talked about Prince passing, and I don't have a big connection to Prince. I like the song Seven. In fact, I'm going to play that at the end. That's the one Prince song I really liked. I hate Raspberry Beret. Absolutely hate it. And I just don't care about the rest of it. He is, when you listen to him, you know he's from the 80s. You know it. He sounds like the 80s. There's nothing timeless about it. You know where it's from, when it's from. I got to say, if you're a Prince fan, and you're mourning, you're on Facebook and Twitter, Purple Rain is not his only song. Can we please stop that? Because that's driving me crazy. All I'm fucking hearing is Purple Rain. I don't care if it's Springsteen singing it, if it's here or there, if it's at the Super Bowl. It's just fucking Purple Rain everywhere. He had a big catalog play something else. I don't give a fuck if it's Bat Dance, that, which is, to me, a terrible song. But if you love Prince, you probably love it. But, just do something else, please. But we lost him. We also lost China the Wrestler, which, you know, she, talk about women breaking through a glass ceiling, so to speak. We had Glow when we were kids, the Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling, and that was women wrestling. But it was acting, really. And if you watch the documentary on it, which is really fantastic, I loved it. It shows you how it was more a cast of characters and not really wrestlers. But, you know, we've had women in wrestling like Miss Elizabeth and things like that, but she was the first woman to wrestle against the men, to be a force, to stand up. And they won't put her in the WWE Hall of Fame because they say her lifestyle choices or whatever. Meanwhile, they put the fucking Ultimate Warrior in there, who said some horribly racist things and horribly homophobic things in his lifetime. They're not keeping Hogan out, and he said his little racist moment. And his, granted, the porn video was not his fault. He didn't know he was being recorded. But, you know, he's going in, and there are a lot of, I mean, Ric Flair is in there, and he's done some ridiculous things. His scam finance company, for one thing. So, and it all comes down to the Triple H, who now is a part of the McMahon family. He's married in and helps run the company. Used to date China for a long time, and I think that has a lot to do with it, and it's childish. She's a huge part of wrestling history, and needs to be in there. She really does. I don't care if she did porn or whatever. She's a grown adult human being. And it's sad that she passed at 46 or 45. She would have been 46 this year. And it's sad that you see a wrestler and you go, well, it happens. They die young, drugs, etc. That's a shame. It's really bad that the industry is like that. And it was another death that got me, and it was Michelle McNamara. And a lot of people don't know her. She's not a household name. I'd heard her name before as a true crime writer. She was mentioned somewhere, talked about somewhere that I heard. I don't remember where now. But she was also married to Patton Oswalt. And he's been pretty quiet since it happened, and that one hit me, because when Prince dies, you mourn the guy, he's gone. China dies, you mourn her, she's gone. Patton Oswalt's wife dies, and he's still here, and you think about him, the guy you know, mourning, and that's so sad to me. That one hit me. Like, God, first of all, she's 46. She died in her sleep. They don't know how yet, because LA coroner's office is way behind. It might take months to figure it out, to do a proper study of an autopsy. And it just really hit me. I'm 40 now, like 6 more years. What if I had only 6 more years? You know, I don't do to my body what China's done. That doesn't make me worry. Prince, possibly Percocets were involved that he had because of an injury, got hooked on. He's 57. That's not going to happen to me. You know, I don't have that addictive personality. But going in your sleep, not knowing why, no known health issues, that's terrifying to think and to leave behind. And not only hit her husband, but a 7-year-old daughter. I have a 7-year-old daughter. It just hit me pretty rough. You know, it was just like a sad thing. So trying to keep things positive, trying to keep things up. It makes you want to just hang on. Make sure you appreciate what you have, who you have in your life. All the celebrities tweeting him and the comics just like, you know, we love you and we're with you, my friend, and stuff like that. That's uplifting to me. That's really good that he has that. And not just the fans sending him messages, but people he genuinely knows and loves, and they're publicly like behind him, and that's great. And you know, I think his little girl will have a lot of great support moving forward, as hard as this is going to be. And that's nice to know, even though he's a total stranger to me. I'm glad I have that humanity to feel sad for someone. When I have that face of the person mourning, which I don't have for China or Prince, I don't have the face of the mourner, but we do with Patton Oswalt. So it does make it a little different the way we see it or approach it. So, you know, I hope he's okay. As okay as you can be, let's face it. And I hope his daughter gets the kind of support she needs to. That's a big thing. So, you know, it's tough, but that one really hit me. I couldn't breathe for a second. It was really like, what the fuck just happened? So, crazy stuff. But on to better things. I would like to get more of this done. Get more shows together. I'm glad to see Daniel Garza is back with Put It Together. He's retiring his other two shows, which, understandable. The guy's dealing with so much health-wise and kicking ass, and I'm so proud of him every day. We have Dave and John and Rob over on the No Cry Zone just killing it, doing a great job. Zen and all his crew, Richard and Ray and Crystal, all killing it over there at Double D, and you know, Zen and Crystal have a new home, which is exciting, and they'll have a new little studio set up, and that's really cool, and I still want to get up there. Everything's just been a financial pain in the ass lately, so, we get to do first Mother's Day with Sam. That's going to be great. I don't know what we're doing yet. I have to get with Casey on that one. And then her birthday is soon after. So Jeff's turning 40 in a couple weeks. In a week, I should say. Jeff Dolniak. And you know, another one of us crossing that line. It's pretty crazy. But exciting. It's been an intense year plus since last February. It's been just so much happening. You know, and to be able to keep moving forward is great, honestly. And to have the support, I get nice messages here when I post up shows, and that's great. And I know I'm a different person than when we started this whole thing. Back when, you know, it's me, Cam, Dave, and Jeff, and we started this whole podcasting thing. We had this show, Cinema Head Cheese, and Ain't Dead Yet that Dave and I used to do. And we didn't know what we were doing, really. We were just like, let's go, let's do it, let's put it up. And to be here, God, what is this? 3-4.5 years later, maybe? I don't even know anymore. It's just, it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. And it's exciting You know, so when you guys talk to me, I appreciate it. Keep doing it. Do it more if you haven't. Send me messages. All the info's at the end of the show. I'm going to do my best to get more of this done and, you know, get more people on with me too. That's another big thing. So it's good. And I'm glad for the people that are coming back strong. There are rumors of Tony and Leo coming back and doing the sports show. They're working on that a little bit. And Andy's back with Banned from iTunes, and hopefully Mike will be able to get back on there. So that's great too. And just keeping it going and building and building. That's the whole thing. And, you know, so thank you again for tuning in. I do appreciate it. Check out last week's masterpiece if you want to hear me on that. Tomorrow's episode if you want to hear me, and Sam's on there as well. And you know, we're moving forward, moving along, and hoping to do bigger and better things as we go. It's time, and I'm excited. I'm very excited. So thank you guys. We'll see you next week. I hope. I'm saying it so that I do it. So let's get that together, me and you. That's right. And honestly, you know what? That's a thing too. If you have something interesting you want to talk about, you want to talk to me about, send me a message, and we'll work out a Skype thing, and maybe do a little recording. How's that sound? I like it. So, me and you, we'll work this out. I'll see you next time, and of course, cheers.
I know the seven men killed my father. They seem to come to me. And the chains. They must never find them. They must never find us. If anything should happen to you, I...
All seven men will watch them fall. They stand in the way of love, and we will smoke them all with an intellect and a savoir faire.
Never come.
Subscribe to Raise Your Spirits on iTunes, Stitcher, and at abnormalentertainment.com/raiseyourspirits. Find Raise Your Spirits and Kevin Moyers on Facebook. Tweet at RYS Podcast and at Kevin Moyers. Email the show, ryspodcast@gmail.com. And for more podcasts, comics, books, movies, and more, head to abnormalentertainment.com.
You've been listening to the Abnormal Entertainment Network.